This is just a quick side note that Benjamin, he doesn't really, he's got a few words. He's not really talking yet.
But he says
But
Jadu.
one thing that he says is Dadu. And I
Oh.
kept being like, Jadu? But no.
Teaching your nephew Hindi.
Yeah. All the important words. Jadu, Billy.
I mean, magic and cat are two of the most important things in this world.
I agree. You can go a long way with those two concepts. Welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood circus boys.
Yeah, way more circus in this movie than the movie Circus.
Right? And as I was watching it, I was like, God, I love a circus. And I was
I
like,
know.
except for actual circus.
Yeah.
That sucked.
That was the one circus downfall.
Yeah.
Okay, Katie, what'd you think of Doom 3?
I loved it.
Okay.
I think it is on par with Doom 2.
Wow, high praise.
And I stand by that. I feel very strongly about that. Like, I do think I would now watch both of them.
Okay, great. I think I would watch a full Doom trilogy sometime in the future. I think I'd be down to watching all three of them. I don't think I can say I liked this movie as much as Doom 2. I did like it. I loved the first act. I was just enraptured. And it went off the rails for me a little bit in Act Two.
Yeah, well, I will say too, I didn't like the end of Doom
No, me
3.
neither.
So I guess for me to say I like it as much as I like Doom 2, that's not entirely honest.
Yeah.
But I did really like it. And I think whenever I feel the desire to watch Doom 2, I would not be surprised if I then was like, might as well watch Doom 3 now.
Right. Yeah. No, I can. I think that's perfectly fair. But I'm looking forward to debriefing more and breaking everything down with you. But before we do that, did you know that Shah Rukh Khan was supposed to be in Amir Khan's role in this movie? And I think that it was like years and years. Like that was like the original plan, and then he like got injured or was unavailable or something, and then years later, they brought it back up and did it with Amir Khan.
That's interesting, 'cause now I'm picturing Shah Rukh in that role. And I think he would have done a very good job with it. We've seen
Yeah.
him, well, no spoilers, but we've seen him in similar roles before.
Yeah, we've definitely, Shah Rukh has been a like done the double roles thing
Yes.
in multiple different franchises and also, has played a neurodivergent character
Right.
with respect and dignity, which I
Yes.
just used that word because I thought it was so funny that it was in the plot recap.
I did too. And then I was watching this movie and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I get it. I get it.
Do you? I still don't understand why the word dignity was used.
I mean, I think that they were aiming for dignity, but they didn't really lean into that plot point. And then I would say that there's the glorification of certain things that I think shouldn't be glorified
Yeah.
that do not equate to dignity, which I feel like the movie was trying to push
Yeah.
yeah. We'll talk
Yeah.
about it.
Yeah.
But it is interesting to think of Shah Rukh in that role. And I will also take the moment to say that I thought Amir Khan was amazing.
I agree. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he completely disappeared into it as well, in a way that I've seen from both like Hrithik and Shah Rukh, where, yeah, I was like, I forgot it's the same actor.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, he did a really great job with that. My only other criticism that I wanted to bring up at the start here was not enough Katrina Kaif.
Right, they had her, and I was so optimistic for her entry. Like,
Yeah.
it was so powerful. I'm so excited to talk about
I
it.
know.
But yeah, and then she was kind of just a prop.
She
And I
was,
was like,
yeah.
she's the only woman here other than the hot blonde Chicago cop who walks around with her midriff bared, which is totally
Right.
fine, but
Yeah.
So would have liked a little more lady presence.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's the sort of thing where it's like you put her in a way that just made her serve the plot for the men. And it would almost have been better to just not have had her there.
And it acted like she had a lot of power, but she actually did not.
Right.
you telling us she has a lot of power but not showing us does not mean she has a lot of power. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. But still, overall, a lot of fun. And especially the first half, I was just so into it. We've already mentioned really all of our cast members, if you bring in our past conversations about the other movies. But so, of course, we've got Amir Khan as both Sahir and Samar. We have Katrina Kaif as Alia. We have Abhishek Bachchan as Jay Dixit and Uday Chopra as Ali Khan.
Yeah.
Oh, and...
Yeah. Are we going to talk about the special guest appearance?
I think so. And Jackie Shroff as Papa Iqbal Khan.
Yeah. And I was like, whoa, Jackie Shroff is here. Not for long.
Not for long. I had no idea. Like, he's the fifth cast person on IMDb, and I had never scrolled past the first four.
Why would you? You wouldn't Why expect would Jackie to be there.
If I had known, I would have. But yeah, was truly delighted to see him, and then sad. I mean, I knew that he wasn't going to be around for, you know, it's like you see a you see a boy in a page boy hat, and he's got a dad. You're like, that dad's not going to be around for long.
For sure not. Yeah.
But let's get into it.
Yes.
Doom 3 opens in snowy Chicago, 1990. A young boy goes to a pawn shop and sells a few rings and a watch for $25. As he returns home, he has to escape from some muggers as a voiceover from his father, Jackie Shroff, who I'm going to call Papa, as we always do.
Yep.
This voiceover says, "Today is the most important day of our lives, and like a storm, it's a time of danger as well as an opportunity to do the impossible." Beautiful.
Yeah.
This young boy is Sahir, and his papa manages the Great Indian Circus, but we learn that the circus is in debt to the Western Bank of Chicago. And Sahir offers the $25 he has earned from the pawn shop to help his father pay the debt. Papa tells him to keep the $25, saying it's actually worth way more than the debt, and if he has this $25, the circus can never be shut down.
Yeah, it's a sweet sentiment, but it doesn't actually make any sense.
You know what I mean? It really doesn't.
I think he's saying as long as you have the desire and love to do what you need to keep the circus running, it'll keep going, but like... Yeah. The actual $25 isn't going to do anything.
Didn't really do much, no. It's not even really going to accrue much value over
No. It was one of those things that I was just like, oh, yeah, that's a lot of heart to it. And then I was like, wait a second.
Is it?
Yeah. I feel like that happens at a few different points in this film.
Yeah. Things don't necessarily mean what we're told they mean.
Yeah.
But... anyway, a bunch of stuffy white dudes arrive at the theater. These are the bankers. One of them is Mr. Anderson. He is the true villain of the film.
Oh, yeah.
Backstage before the show, Sahir and Papa recite an empowering poem that ends with the line, "We are the writers of our own destiny."
Mm-hmm.
The show goes off without a hitch, thanks primarily to the main act, which is a magic show where Sahir goes into a box, disappears, and then reappears at the back of the theater.
Yeah.
But Mr. Anderson is unmoved, and he says that they have 5 days to hand over the theater and anything that can be auctioned off to pay the loan. Sahir begs Mr. Anderson to change his mind, but Papa tells Sahir never to beg. They have to maintain their honor.
Yeah.
Papa then pulls out a gun and aims it at Mr. Anderson and says he hopes he rots in hell, but then he turns the gun on himself and kills himself.
Yeah, was there really nothing else to be done? Like, I know your life dream was crumbling around you, but, like, you have two young sons.
Yeah.
In this instance, it was very selfish. Yeah.
I totally agree with that. Like, to put your pride and dignity over the, like, well-being of your sons and that. It's not even... It's
and
not even
in front of them. Like,
yeah. Like, if you have, like, a mental health disorder that's making you think this is the right choice, that's one thing that's also horrible. But, like, if you're just like, well, I'm gonna go down my way, and that way is killing yourself and shooting yourself in the head
in front of your two young sons. Yeah.
Yeah, no, not the best choice, in my opinion.
No. And I was a little bit like, ooh, okay, so that's how we're starting.
Yeah, dark. Dark place.
Yeah.
But in present day, we see Sahir rise from bed and stalk to his window, reciting the same poem, "We are the writers of our own destiny."
Mm-hmm.
The camera sweeps through the streets of Chicago and lands in front of the Western Bank. Suddenly, cash comes raining down from on high, and we see Sahir running down the facade of the building.
Very cool.
Very cool. We see right away that he is not taking this money for himself. He doesn't care who gets the cash as long as the bank doesn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
This leads us into the first of many chase scenes in this film. Yeah. Sahir expertly dodges the cops, and at one point, he's riding his motorcycle. He even, like, slides his motorcycle under a passing truck.
Yeah. Yash Raj Films loves that move.
Does that happen in one of the
I swear that it definitely happens in one of the movies for the
something
side.
Something like that definitely happens in Patton, I feel.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's a common move, because it's a good one,
you know? It's a good one. It's a classic for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Sahir rides into a parking garage, and the cops think they have him cornered, until they see him shoot a cable over to the next neighboring building, and then ride his motorcycle across this cable, narrowly avoiding being hit by a passing train.
I love that they're like, how does he do it? And I was like, it's magic. I got very excited that there was real magic at play. Yeah.
Jadu.
Jadu. Oh my God, imagine if Jadu was just there.
What a way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is our opening. Very exciting opening.
Yeah.
And it leads us into our first dance number, which is Doom Tap.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
This, I'm going to say, is not my favorite rendering of the Doom theme.
No. Doom 2 is definitely my favorite.
Absolutely.
This one was entertaining to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't figure out if it was entertaining to watch because he looks a lot like the angry leprechaun from Luck of the Irish. You know, at the end of Luck of the Irish when they're doing the Irish step dancing competition and the hat and the vest. And and also just, like, his face looks a lot like whatever that actor.
Timothy Amundsen's face.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also Footloose. It also had some, like, angry dance from Footloose energy.
Sure. Well, so here was my thing about it, because I definitely saw the Irish step dancing comparison, because Amir Khan is very clearly not a tap dancer.
Right.
And he is very stiff as he's executing these moves, which does make it seem like it doesn't look great.
Yeah, and I don't know why they have him do more standard dance moves. Other times in the movies,
and I feel like
he does great. Yeah, so I don't really know why they were leaning so hard into this.
I don't either. Yeah, the thing it reminded me of was, if anyone's seen Spamalot, there's a tap number where King Arthur is just, like, doing, like, nothing, and everyone around him is, like, doing all the moves. So that was what it reminded me of. Because all of the backup dancers are amazing.
I was watching them. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. I was like, these people are incredible. Because tap dancing, when done well, is absolutely incredible. Yeah.
But
as is Irish step dancing.
Right. But seeing Amir Khan kind of struggle his way through it was not my favorite thing. Like, he was just clearly so focused on doing the right thing with his feet that the rest of his body wasn't really moving the way it probably should have been, and his face was, like, so serious.
Yeah.
And there was, like, no energy in it. And I don't blame him. I think that that was just a poor choice.
I'd agree with that.
But then at the end, he takes off his hat, he tosses it, and we see Doom 3. After the opening number, we cut to what is, I think, my favorite sequence with Jay and Ollie in the whole franchise.
Yes. It was like they really hit their stride.
Yeah. And I was just like, this was what I came here for, was like, here are my two guys being goofy. Because we see Ollie, he is hanging upside down, surrounded by bad guys. And when they let him down, Ali assures the baddies that his partner Jay is famous for making an entrance, and soon he'll arrive and take them all down. And sure enough, we hear an engine rev, and a rickshaw driven by Jay burst through a nearby brick wall.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know rickshaws were that sturdy, but here we are.
They're not! As we see. But so this leads us into kind of a whole fight chase sequence that's really, really fun. I particularly like the moment where Jay is, like, spinning on one wheel in the rickshaw, and he shouts to Ali, and Ali has to, like, lean back as the rickshaw, like, goes over him.
A very similar move to the motorcycle slide underneath the truck.
Yes, and a motorcycle move that happens later as well.
Yep. Yeah, they like the slow motion dodging.
Yes.
It's stuff.
It's a good, again, it's a classic for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Ali ride through this town, and their rickshaw gradually starts to fall apart because it's not made for this kind of treatment.
Yeah.
They end up having to escape on foot. Several more people break through several more brick walls. Eventually, Jay gets cornered, and Ali has to save him by riding up on his trusty motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Through feats of impossible strength, dexterity, and teamwork, they manage to take down the baddies and ride off to safety.
Yes.
Back in Chicago, the cops are investigating this robbery at the Western Bank of Chicago, which is now the second targeting the bank chain. And both times the culprit has left behind a message in Hindi, "Bankers, may you rot in hell." We then see Sahir arrive outside the old Great Indian Circus Theater, and he says that he has come home.
Yeah.
Jay and Ali then arrive in Chicago. They have been brought in to consult on this case.
I know that we're just told that Jay is, like, the best cop in India.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Based on what we've seen in Doom and Doom 2, I'm not so certain that's true. So I just think it's interesting that he is who they would call as, like, an international consultant.
I agree with that. I feel like maybe it was more that all of the better cops were not available.
That feels right to me.
Ali, as usual, is too busy fawning over the ladies to engage in any sort of professional behavior. One of the detectives who we saw earlier at the bank arrives on her motorcycle to meet them. This is Victoria. She's a detective with the Chicago police. Whatever.
She really doesn't do anything other than be hot. Again.
Yeah, just be a target for Ali's lecherousness.
Yeah. Yep.
So Jay and Victoria ride off together. Ali has to take the bus. Poor guy. Also, I'm assuming that Jay is in fact divorced.
Yeah, Sweetie's not mentioned at all. Or his child.
Or his child. So I think we were right at the end of Doom 2 that, like, the whole 6-month abandonment of his pregnant wife was the end of their relationship.
Good for Sweetie. I hope she's living it up as a single mother.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe she found someone better to be a partner to her.
But is still getting child support from Jay. Yes. I bet he has a decent salary.
I'm sure he does, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, back at the circus theater, we learn that the performers have been rehearsing for a year and they're almost ready to kick off their act, but Sahir still hasn't found the perfect woman to perform alongside him. Just then, a woman arrives who can only be described as quirky.
Yeah.
This is Alia.
Big hat.
Yeah, big hat, big trench coat. This is Alia, and she pushes past the security and begs Sahir to let her audition for the show. She assures him that she is exactly what he's looking for. She has a flyer that says that he's looking for an Asian goddess who sings and dances like liquid electricity.
Yeah.
Which is great.
It is great. At first I was like, I don't know what that means.
And but then
and then her performance happened, and I was like, ah, okay,
this is what that means. Yeah. Sahir agrees to give her 5 minutes and says if he doesn't take his eyes off her the whole time, she's in. And this brings us to our next dance number, Kamali.
Oh, this is my favorite.
It's excellent. It's so good.
I immediately added it to my Bollywood Jams playlist.
Yep, good choice.
Yeah.
It's part dance number, part striptease, part acrobatic sequence.
Yeah, like so many articles of clothing get removed. I don't know how she was moving at the beginning with all of that clothing on.
She had
body.
so many layers. But then they all also made sense.
They did,
Yeah, it was like a logical striptease. I enjoyed it.
I did too. And Katrina Kaif was incredible.
Oh my God, she was so good. I wrote, forget Sahir, I can't take my eyes off her.
Yeah.
I do think it's interesting because this number came up in the research I was doing last week about stunt doubles, and apparently Katrina Kaif did not do a lot of the like flips and things that we saw in this number. But, I mean, you're looking at her full face for a lot of the stuff she's doing, and it's very impressive. And the stuff later in the circus sequence. So, good stuff. I don't know why they weren't letting her audition, because clearly she's amazing.
Because they thought she was crazy? Like,
she's too quirky. Get her out of here.
People have told me that before.
They're wrong.
Yes, you just fight the man. You join that circus.
You just you become dance even more quirky.
Yeah, and you dance like liquid electricity.
Oh, I love it. At the end of this number, Sahir welcomes Alia to the act and then fires the manager who previously hadn't let her audition.
Yeah.
Back with the cops, Jay debriefs with Mr. Anderson and says he's probably being robbed by someone the bank made angry in the past, which is apparently a lot of people. He then says that they need the burglar to strike again. So Jay goes on the news to bait the burglar, saying that he's an amateur, and if he's smart, he won't try it again.
Mm-hmm.
Sahir sees this, and then he forms a plan. He goes to the police station, and he points a finger at a clown he used to work with in another circus named Chup Chup Charlie.
Yeah.
The only thing Sahir says he ever heard Charlie say was rot in hell, which again are the words that are written on the wall. So Jay's like, yeah, I believe it. Mm-hmm. And he invites Sahir to come to the bank to help them figure out what this Charlie's next move is going to be.
Yeah.
While he's at the bank, Sahir scopes out the place using some very high-tech gear. And I do think it's interesting because he doesn't keep the money he steals, but he has a lot of expensive stuff.
That's what I was wondering. I was like, I assumed that he had kept the money from the first bank robbery.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, yeah, I mean, everything is so high tech.
Right. Maybe that is what happened. And now every subsequent robbery, he's just letting all the cash fly free.
Yeah.
But so he gets all the information he needs, and then he warns Jay that Charlie will strike on April Fool's Day, but he says he can't be there because he's got the opening night of the Great Indian Circus. Later that day, Ali is outside the bank when the cash once more starts raining from the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So Sahir has struck again, and they don't know that it was Sahir.
Yes.
Or so we think.
Mm-hmm.
Sahir makes it onto the roof of the building, and the cops think they have him cornered, but he has rigged himself to a nearby crane, and he flies free, landing safely on the street below and rides off once more on his motorcycle. Another intense chase scene ensues. Eventually, the cops think, again, that they constantly always think that this man is cornered, and he never is.
Yeah, well, yeah, they actually give him an out, but, you know.
Well, so he's on this bridge, it's a drawbridge, and they open the drawbridge and he starts rolling backwards and then he launches himself and you think he's trying to go over the bridge, but in fact, he falls between the opening and his motorcycle turns into a jet ski and he jet skis away.
It's like James Bond level stuff.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
But do motorcycles like this exist? I don't think they do.
I mean, do underwater like swimming cars exist? Maybe. Actually, maybe spies have all of this and we just we normies don't even know.
Yeah, we plebs. We don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, and I also wrote down, I really love that in the background of this shot, the drawbridge shot, you can see there's like a huge crowd of people watching from one of the other bridges. And that made me so happy because it made me think of in Chandani, how you could see all the people gathered to watch the filming in so many of the scenes. There was just something so like, aw.
That is cool. I missed that, but I should probably go back and watch that scene just for that, because I would be looking, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it works, too, because, like, in real life, if that were happening, you'd be like, what's that? What's going on?
I thought that about the, like, when they're filming around the bean as well.
Uh-huh.
I'd be like, I would have just been like, look at these beautiful people just dancing around the bean.
Dancing at the bean! I was going to tell a story about the bean, which was that I was in Chicago a few years ago and we were at the bean and I was like, is this why they call Chicago Bean Town? And the person I was with was like, that's Boston.
Yeah.
That's not this city. And I was like, oh, okay. Oops.
Which I still don't know why. Like, I live near Boston. And I can't tell you why it's called Bean Town.
And also, why is the bean in Chicago? What is that bean for?
I don't know. This is what I should have done my research on.
None of it adds up.
It's a conspiracy.
It must be. But so anyway, Jay and Ali, they hijack some boats. They're chasing Sahir up the river. Eventually, Sahir is once again cornered, quote unquote. So he drives his jet ski underwater. And then emerges near a park and then turns his jet ski back into a motorcycle and motorcycles away. Jay has gotten picked up by a helicopter and the chopper is...
He loves a helicopter.
He does. He's always in helicopters. So the helicopter is chasing after Sahir. Jay is dangling from a rope ladder underneath the helicopter and manages to shoot Sahir. But Sahir does get away. And Jay tells Ali that they're going to the circus. There's a full house at the theater for opening night, and the show begins with Papa's poem being read and a silhouette behind a curtain of a father passing his torch to his son. Sahir then flies out over the crowd with the torch and then lands on the stage and lights a ring of fire on the stage. And this brings us into our circus dance number, Malang.
Yeah, I forgot that this was actually my favorite.
I know, this is definitely my favorite too, but I do love Katrina's number.
Yeah, they're both so good and we should put them both on the playlist.
I agree. This was too where I wrote down, like, this dancing is clearly more in Amir Khan's wheelhouse. Yeah. Like, he looked amazing. And I really liked the contrast between, like, him and Katrina are doing the same moves, but he's more, like, powerful and she's more fluid. And
yeah.
Yeah, it was really good.
And I liked, like, the fantasy forest backdrop.
Yeah.
And her, like, white fringe romper thing.
Yes.
Oh, it was so good.
It all looked so incredible. Like, I would watch this for hours.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, and then I was like, I already really like this. And then they incorporated the Doom theme.
Yes!
And it made me want to scream. I was like, oh, my God.
So good.
And that was what really sold it for me.
Absolutely. Like, it was several minutes into it where I was like, he got shot.
I actually had that thought as he was, like, swinging around on one arm. I was like, huh, he's really not acting like he felt any pain with that.
Yeah. And I do still think that that point stands, but there's more to the story. At one point, importantly, there's a moment where we see Sahir do a similar trick to what he did as a child. He falls into, like, a box on the stage and disappears and then reappears above the chandelier in the middle of the crowd.
Yes.
So the crowd cheers as the curtains close, and Alia tells Sahir that it was a great show, but he ignores her, which is cold, but whatever. But then the cops swarm them, and they've got Sahir surrounded, and Jay says he knows Sahir is the real burglar because he knew the security codes for the bank, which nobody else did. Well, a couple other people did, but everyone else was accounted for. And he tells Sahir to take off his shirt, which he does, but there's no bullet wound. There's not even a bruise on his back.
Yeah. I still, at this moment, was like, I started to get an inkling. I was like, oh my God, is this the Prestige? But then I was also like, well, maybe he's got actual magic. Like, I was still holding out for some real magic. Yeah.
Well, this was the point where I remembered that on IMDb, Amir Khan is credited as playing two different characters.
Oh.
And so I had seen that last week and I was like, oh, is this a doubles thing? And then I forgot about it, but then I remembered in this moment.
Okay.
But anyway, it was still a good twist, and I'm sure it got a lot of people when they first watched it.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, Sahir says that tricks are his trade, and Jay says he wishes he'd put a bullet between Sahir's eyes. And Sahir says that if they were friends, he would tell Jay his tricks. And Jay says that he doesn't make a good friend, but he makes a great enemy. This being, again, one of the common themes of the Doom franchise, is people...
Yes.
Criminals wanting to be friends with Jay.
Yeah, well, and...
Who sucks.
Again, it's just like a bullet between your eyes. Yes, this man robbed a bank, but did he harm anyone?
Yeah.
I don't believe in the death penalty.
No, regardless. I don't think anyone should die for crimes that they've committed.
You definitely shouldn't die for a crime committed that didn't physically harm anyone.
Yes, I agree. Jay, as we've said before, is a little trigger happy and a little over violent and just not the best. Not the best guy.
Pulls guns a lot.
He does, unnecessarily. And I actually felt like he was being better in this movie, and then,
this happened,
Then this happened. But so the cops wrestle Jay off stage, and Sahir heads back to the rooms that he stays in at the theater.
He's like the Phantom of the Opera.
Yeah, the Phantom. He sits down in front of a mirror, and we see that his reflection in the mirror has a bullet wound. But how? He asks his reflection if the wound hurts, and his reflection recites the poem, "We are the writers of our own destiny."
That's not an answer.
It's not. But it is intermission. And so there's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
We open Act 2 with scenes of Sahir and his twin brother Samar as children. Samar narrates this montage. He and Sahir were Papa's two hands, one seen and one unseen.
Yeah.
Samar was always kept a secret, the one hiding in the box waiting for Sahir to appear and perform their act. Samar is also neurodivergent, and he received a lot of love and attention from Papa, and Sahir says he was spoiled. They do actually seem to have a pretty solid family dynamic.
Yeah, no, it actually all seemed pretty healthy up until their father
shot himself in front of them. Yeah, that was a lot for them. But Papa warns them to always be there for each other and never let go of one another's hands.
Yeah.
We also see the narrow escape that Sahir made in the first chase scene. When he was cornered in the garage, it was Samar who rode out across the cable. Mm-hmm. And then in the second, when there was the underwater jet ski thing, it was Samar who came out and rode away on the motorcycle and got shot by Jay, of course.
Yes.
Samar ends his voiceover, it's him writing in his diary, and he says that some things are best kept a secret, and he even has a secret from Sahir, and that secret is he is in love with Alia.
Yeah.
And it's great and adorable.
I love Samar so much. Yeah, he is precious.
He is just a genuine good soul in all ways. Yeah.
And it's just like the little, like the way he kind of like hides his face, like after he confesses that to his diary. I was like, oh, buddy, we've all been there.
Yeah. You just got a crush and you like can't hold it in, but it's like embarrassing to even think about it. Oh, it's adorable. Meanwhile, Jay and Ali get fired from the case because they're bad at their jobs. And
they're really bad at their jobs. Why do they keep getting brought on?
I don't know.
People end up dead around them.
Oftentimes. Jay wants to pack up and go home, but Ali says that they can't lose face. And Jay's name is synonymous with honor. And so Jay agrees and says that now they're not working for the police, and so they don't have to be compliant. And he says they need to study Sahir's circus act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is weird to me because I thought that this was going to be like them kind of going rogue.
Right.
But it's not. They do kind of just end up still working with the police.
Yeah. But she's not like, you know, clearly it's like at her house. So.
Right. Yes. They're working casual. Like behind the scenes. Victoria is there too. But then once things start to get interesting again, they're just back with the police.
Yes, that is true.
But it's
more disguises.
That's true. One of the disguises got me, but we'll get to that when it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
We get another dance number, an unrequited love number between Samar and Alia called Too High Junoon. And I liked the music of this number. It was good sounding song. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think the music of Doom 2 is the best overall.
Yeah.
But I do think Doom 3 is also a step above Doom.
I agree.
For the music.
Except I do think the original Doom Machale ranks high on my list because that's really fun. But over the course of this number, we see Jay and Ali disguise themselves as maintenance guys to get in and scope out the circus theater. So at the end of the number, Jay finds the elevator that Samar hides in after every performance that brings him secretly back to the apartment so nobody knows that he's there.
Mm-hmm.
So Jay rides this elevator back to the apartment and sees Samar and Sahir talking to each other. So he knows what's going on. He reports this back to Ali and Victoria and says that Samar is both Sahir's strength and his weakness. And so his plan is now to target Samar.
Yeah.
The next day is Samar's day off. And he tells us as he's writing in his diary that he gets one day a week to be himself and not be Sahir's double. And he uses his day off to go to Six Flags.
Yeah.
Which is a great choice.
How awful, though. He only gets one day.
I know. That's really sad.
Like, why? Give him two or three. Come on.
I feel like more people could have known about Samar. Like, the other people in the circus weren't going to tell his secret.
Right. But he's so cute. He gets to wear what he wants. And, yeah.
And I guess maybe if he weren't neurodivergent, that maybe he could be out and about more. But it is very clear his mannerisms and ways of talking that he's not Sahir. And he can't really pretend to be in the same way that Sahir can pretend to be him.
Right.
No matter what, it's sad. But Samar has a good time. Jay and Ali follow him to Six Flags, and they pull off a very bizarre ruse where Ali is dressed as Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yep.
And Jay in a very convincing costume yeah. that I did not recognize him in for several minutes.
Wow.
Maybe not several minutes, but the first few shots I was like, who's this guy?
Because I assumed it was Jay, but then I actually second-guessed myself.
Ah.
Until they were walking, and then I was like, you can't disguise that height.
Yeah. He's like a foot taller than Amir Khan, and it is yeah. very obvious at many moments. But yeah, Jay is pretending to, like, have stolen something from Ali, and Samar, like, sticks up for Jay, and so they bond. And Samar gives Jay a hamburger and invites him to have fun with him at the park for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And we get a montage of them riding roller coasters together, playing carnival games, and having a burping contest. And yeah. this was where I was getting confused about why things were happening the way they were happening in this movie. But uh-huh. it was very sweet. Samar then has to leave, but he gives Jay a ticket to the circus, and the two bond over being each other's first friend.
Yeah. What about Ali? Like, I do believe that Jay is like, wow, you've taught me what true friendship is. And then I'm like, wow, okay.
That's, I know, like, if Ali had overheard that, he'd be so offended.
Yeah, and I don't think Jay was lying.
No, yeah. This was what was so bizarre to me about this movie. Like, I don't understand why this happened for Jay.
It was weird.
It's so weird. And I feel like it would have made more sense for him to have Ali be the one to, like, get close with Samar and then have Ali start to be sympathetic for Samar.
Yeah.
And then Jay have to just be the bad cop like he always is and be like, no, we gotta do this. But, like, I don't know. This was just weird.
But, you know, Jay just went through a divorce. He can't see his child. He's feeling alone in the world.
Yeah.
We have to remember the context.
He feels a paternal instinct towards Samar and wanting to, like, yeah. protect him. <It's> so funny. Anyway, yeah. So Samar heads home and he decides not to tell Sahir about his new friend. And he says now he has two secrets. Now a scene happens that isn't plot relevant, but I do want to talk about it just so I can make a joke. Sahir dresses up as an old man and goes to his security deposit box at the bank, where he keeps a photo of Papa with the twin boys and the $25 that he earned from the pawn shop.
Yep.
He vows that this will be the bank's last day. The woman who brings him to the deposit box says that her boyfriend recently injured himself playing basketball.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I can only assume that he was either playing basketball while wet or playing it in high-heeled boots while wearing jeans.
Wow, that is such a good observation. You're probably right.
Yeah, thank you for humoring me.
Yeah, that's... She's actually dating Kabir. Like, Kabir survived, moved to Chicago.
And is dating this woman.
And she's like, I don't know why. Like, my boyfriend's really great for all these reasons, but he's got this one thing where he'll only play basketball. In jeans and high-heeled boots.
With no shirt. And that's just his thing. And, you know, if that's the only red flag I'm dealing with, I just, you take what you can get.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jay and Samar meet up at Six Flags once more. And Jay says that he saw the circus act and he thinks that Alia is in love with Samar. Except that he says Sahir because that's who he thinks Samar is.
Yes. Now, I will say this is very clever of Jay.
Yes. It's a good way to sow discord between the brothers. Because Samar is at first happy, but then when he realizes that Alia has a crush on Sahir, he gets very protective of that. And Samar goes home and he demands to swap parts in the performance. And so he gets to be the hero and get all the applause. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of the Prestige a lot through all this.
And by the way, it did actively say, like, yes, we were inspired and influenced by the Prestige.
Okay, I'm glad that that acknowledgement was
They did acknowledge it because I was like, yeah, this is like a lot about, this is the Prestige. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it just made me want to watch the Prestige, which is great. It is one of my favorite films.
Yeah, so. It's a good choice to watch that film. Yeah. I like that one. Sahir begrudgingly agrees to let Samar swap parts in the performance, and he says it will be the first and last time. He starts to recite Papa's poem, but Samar refuses to finish it and storms off in a rage. Samar takes center stage and gets to bask in the full heat of Alia's gaze throughout the performance. And afterwards, Alia tells him that there was something different tonight, something electric between them. And she Ooh. Says that they have to take advantage of it, because if they don't, it'll slip away. And so they have to go out together that night, and she tells him to meet her at the gates at 9.
I love how confident she is.
I know, she's a great character, and I again, would have loved to see more of her. Samar is thrilled, but when Sahir hears this, he tries to convince Samar not to go, saying that they're too close to reaching their goal of bringing down the bank, and they can't jeopardize it now by having Samar risk revealing himself. Sahir says that Samar is his shadow, and then says a bunch of other very insulting things that...
Yeah.
Just kind of, they don't come out of nowhere, but their relationship falls apart very quickly.
Yeah, and it just feels like maybe he's in a misguided attempt to keep Samar, like, close.
Yeah.
He is trying to scare him away from experiencing life, but he's doing it in such a cruel way.
Definitely.
That kind of goes against everything else we've seen from him and how he cares for his brother. Like, it made me think, like, oh, okay, I don't like Sahir. He is a bad guy.
Yes, same. I agree with that. And then they, like, in a few scenes are just, like, working together like nothing happened.
The emotional components were confusing.
Exactly. Samar responds to this by saying that he is not Sahir's shadow. They have two minds and two hearts. And he tells Sahir that he should be his shadow and let him rot in a box for once.
Mm-hmm.
Sahir slaps Samar and then looks instantly regretful, but it's too late. Samar leaves the apartment. And he meets up with Alia, and it's very cute. They're very into each other. Alia even thinks it's kind of sexy that Samar can't tie his shoes, just like Albert Einstein, he says.
See, yeah, like, there is someone who will appreciate what you consider flaws.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
And it's great.
Love you for every Super aspect cute. Of who you are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Jay meets up with Mr. Anderson. He's made the connection to Samar and Sahir's papa and the bank, and Jay asks to be let back on the case so that he can prevent further revenge before it's too late and Mr. Anderson loses all his money. Samar and Alia have reached the end of their date, and Alia says that she's noticed he's like two people. One, her boss who ignores her, and two, a man who makes her feel like falling rain, only falling for him.
Aww.
Samar asks which man she likes better, and Alia leans in and kisses him.
Aww.
It's very sweet. An excited Samar then runs to Six Flags. Where he hangs out with Jay and tells Jay to, you know, wants to tell him all about the date. But then Jay reveals himself as the police officer Jay. I don't think he had told Samar his name.
I don't think so.
But so he's like, yeah, I'm a cop. I'm the one who's after you and your brother. But he promises Samar that he is still his friend and he wants to help him. And he tries to convince Samar to turn himself and Sahir in. Jay says he'll get them a plea bargain. Otherwise, this will all end in death.
Why so much death, everyone?
I don't...
They steal, like, they rob banks.
They don't need to die.
And they don't even presumably rob banks at gunpoint. Like, no. I don't think there's any guns involved. They're just robbing banks.
They're just too sly. They just want to destroy all the money and then throw some of it out the windows.
They don't need to die.
No. But then Samar reveals that he's actually Sahir.
That was scary. Got freaked out.
Yeah, it was an alarming sort of character shift moment. We flash back and see that Jay and Samar had seen each other earlier that night. Sahir saw this, and so he drugged Samar after his date and then took his place to meet up with Jay.
Yeah.
Sahir ends up tying Jay to the tracks of the roller coaster.
Like an old-timey villain.
Yeah. And he accuses him of betraying Samar. He tells Jay to remember his few good deeds before he dies, and then leaves because he's got to go destroy the bank. And this is stupid. You got to stay. You got to see it through to the end.
Yeah, everyone knows that the villain has to stick around to see the hero drown or get run over or whatever it is, because otherwise the hero escapes.
Yeah, and sure enough.
Happens all the time.
Ali is lurking in the bushes, and he rescues Jay in the nick of time.
Yes.
Samar and Sahir suit up and they go to the bank to do this last robbery. The cops swarm the bank, but they have filled it with some kind of gas and the cops can't breathe. They're fleeing back out onto the streets.
Mm-hmm.
Jay and Ali then see two of the cops limping away from the scene together and realize that it's Sahir and Samar escaping in, like, SWAT guy uniform.
Yeah.
Then there's an explosion at the bank and... That's alarming. And then the twins ride away on their motorcycles. A lot of stuff happens.
Yeah, and, like, there's never any resolution. Like, after their fight and Samar storms out and is all emotional before his date. And then he gets drugged by his brother.
Yeah, and he's just fine with it.
And then they're like, okay, let's do what we're doing.
That just happened. For
there even to just be a conversation where, like, a brief conversation where Sahir is like, I know you're mad at me, but we have to do what we have to do because Papa. All you needed was one sentence.
Yep. Maybe there's a deleted scene out there somewhere.
Went off the rails.
This is yet another chase scene. This time, Sahir and Samar split up, and then they lead the two groups of cop cars that are chasing them back together, so they all crash. I laughed out loud at this.
Well, yes. You mean because police cars just keep coming and keep flipping over?
I was like, I kept thinking, like, surely that was the last one, and then, like, three more came.
Yeah, you'd think that would only happen to, like, one, maybe two.
Yeah.
But there was, like, five or six cars that just kept being like, well, maybe this time it'll be different. It was very funny. They just keep, falling.
They're just one after another, like dodos falling off a cliff in Ice Age. Yeah, it was wild. But so, yeah, the twins ride off. Jay and Ali are still pursuing them on their own motorcycles. At one point, they've split off into pairs. Jay and Sahir joust one another on their motorcycles.
Yeah.
Sahir knocks Jay off his motorcycle and then almost, like, caves in his head with a pipe.
Yeah.
But then he decides he no longer wants Jay dead and he just leaves him there.
Yeah. Well, probably because he's not actually a killer, but he tried to be a killer. This is what's confusing.
I know. And so there were just so many moments that I'm like, why did you even put this in here?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
The writing is a little all over the place.
Leaves a bit to be desired. But yeah, so once again, there's a whole crazy thing where we think that Sahir and Samar are cornered on a barge, but then they once more transform their bikes. They lock together and they jump over the barge that they're on and they make it to safety.
And I don't really understand what benefit locking their bikes together did. I thought it would maybe make like a car or something.
Yeah,
or
that's what I also thought. No, it just
kept them together.
Yeah. And Jay says let them run, and then he calls the cop Victoria to tell her to meet him with a chopper and a SWAT team.
Yeah.
And now we're on the top of a dam that is apparently a dam in Switzerland.
I'm glad you looked it up, too, because I looked it up, because I was like, what? And then I was like, okay, so is this just chosen as a cool filming location? And they're like, oh, no, we're just outside of Chicago. Or are they actually in Switzerland?
I think that it's probably the former of those two things. Yeah, because it is a Yash Raj film, so we had to go to Switzerland.
But it is just jarring and confusing.
It was jarring and confusing. And I imagine that as an American audience, more so, because we're like, well, there's not a humongous dam just outside Chicago.
Right, which is why in my brain I was like, are they trying to make us think this is Hoover Dam?
But I know,
like, so far away.
It's a completely different part of the country and a completely different landscape.
Right. Yeah, I was really trying to make it work. And it did, because I was like, I'm stupid. Maybe there is a dam outside of Chicago.
I did also have that thought. I was like, maybe I'm not super familiar with what's just outside of Chicago. I don't know. I don't know much about Illinois.
This is Switzerland. Yeah.
It is Switzerland. So Jay and Victoria and the chopper and the SWAT team, they do manage to trap the twins on the top of this dam. And this time, there truly is no escape for them. And Jay has Alia with him.
Yeah.
So Samar wants to go to her, and Sahir says that it's a trap, and Jay says, Sahir, you just gotta give up, it's all over. Mm-hmm. And so Jay and Sahir chat. Sahir offers Jay a hard drive with all of the proof Jay needs to arrest him, which I would have thought that Jay probably already had enough proof to arrest him, but apparently not.
Nope.
He needs this drive. And so he says that he'll only give it to Jay if Jay agrees to let Samar go free. And Jay does agree, and they shake hands.
Yeah, I do just wonder, because if he didn't have proof, he couldn't really prosecute. You know, burden of proof is on the prosecution. And so if there was no actual proof saying that Sahir was the one robbing the banks, he might not have actually been arrested. Or he would have been arrested, but he might not have actually done time.
But, like, don't you feel like there's abundant proof? Like,
Well, sure, but, you know, they told me there wasn't proof, so I'm just operating off the guidelines they're setting.
That's exactly, my point is exactly, like, this is what you're telling me. I don't believe it, but if that's what you're telling me for the plot. I also just think that, like, Jay, if we are to believe that he is a changed man, he probably could have just agreed to let Samar go without, anyway, it's,
yes,
it doesn't matter. It's not important.
Agreed. But it is a little, it just makes the ending more stupid.
So Sahir goes to Samar and says that he doesn't need to hide anymore. He can live his dream and he can live for the both of them. And then Sahir does some flips and leaps over the side of the dam. But Samar also leaps over the side of the dam and is holding onto the edge and holding onto Sahir. Samar reminds Sahir that Papa told them never to let go of each other's hands. They recite the poem together one more time, and then Samar lets go, and they plummet hand in hand, presumably to their deaths.
Yeah. I thought he was really in love with Alia. Like, I thought that was, like, the whole point. And he was, like, single-mindedly focused on her. And then he's just like, okay, no, I'll die with you.
Yeah.
And then also Sahir was just like, cool.
Yeah. It's like, you should die with me. Let's do that together.
Yeah. Like, no, you should be telling your brother, like, no, you have a whole life to live. Like, there should have been a little more back and forth there.
Yeah.
I don't like the glorification of suicide.
Definitely not.
I don't like it being framed as, like, a dignified, honorable way out.
Right. Absolutely not.
It's not what people who are in an unhealthy mental state need to be absorbing.
Exactly. At its heart, it's an act of desperation, and it's not something that should be glorified, like you said.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was upsetting. And that's that. That's how that ends. Also, given his history, I really feel like Jay should stop trying to arrest people on the tops of high up things.
Right. Like, everyone just jumps.
Just jumps. Yeah.
And I kind of was also like, I don't like that that's now a trope of your franchise.
No, I agree. I think it was fine to have it Doom 1, like, that's the choice he's making, whatever. Doom 2, he's actually alive, so that's fine. Right. If you're going to have this be a thing, you need to have it have a twist each time. And I would think that the twist every subsequent time should be that these people are still alive. Like,
right.
But anyway, the last thing we see plot-wise is a news report that the Western Bank of Chicago is closing due to extreme losses of money. And we hear a final voiceover from Jay saying that who knows what is right and what is wrong. All he knows is that Sahir and Samar won, and the true victory belongs to the Great Indian Circus.
They didn't win, though.
No, they're dead.
Yeah.
And the bank was taken down, but they didn't get to enjoy the circus.
Even if Sahir had been imprisoned,
he
robbed a few banks.
Right.
He didn't actually murder anyone.
No, he probably wouldn't be in prison for long.
Right. Like, I assume, I don't know actual sentencing, but like 10 to 20 years, maybe. It's not like he'd get a lifetime imprisonment.
Right. And I think we're supposed to think he's like 30, you know?
Right.
There's plenty of life left to be had at that point.
Yeah. It just,
But we see Jay give the photo of the twins and their father to Alia. And then finally, we see Alia performing Sahir and Samar's act herself. And then we do get our end credits number, which is also a Doom reprise.
Yeah.
And this I really liked.
It was very good.
Katrina looks amazing. The number's all about her. She's got a yellow dress with a gold belt that makes her look like a Greek goddess.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is interspersed with scenes of the twins, like, being cute together, but it's sad because they're dead now. And
yeah. I was like, no.
Yeah.
You chose this. Don't give us this.
But I did write, in my mind, they're actually having a drink together with John Abraham at Rithik's bar in Fiji.
I love that take.
Yeah.
That's
so
great.
Yeah, that's the movie. That's Doom 3.
Thank you. I liked it, but I don't understand why they chose that ending.
Yep. I think what I would enjoy in the future with, like, watching Doom 3 is just watching kind of the action sequences and the dance numbers and not really paying attention to the plot.
I think that would agree.
A good time.
I'd look forward to just having it on in the background while I'm doing something else.
Yeah, just looking up at the parts that you want to watch.
Yeah.
So what did you research for this week?
I researched circuses in India.
Amazing.
Yeah. So street performances, similar to circuses, have existed in India since ancient times, but the modern circus has only existed in India since the 1880s.
Cool.
In 1879, you know, I love a story, and I've got a story. In 1879, a man named Giuseppe Chiarini.
Ah, Giuseppe.
Giuseppe. Brought his Royal Italian Circus to tour India.
Ooh.
And before every show, he'd announced that India did not have a proper circus, and they would have to wait many more years to develop one. Hmm. He then went on to say that he'd offer 1,000 British Indian rupees and a horse as a gift to anyone who could repeat his stage effects within 6 months.
Oh, I want this to be a movie. I'm already very excited.
Right, right. This is what circus should have been.
Yeah.
And when Chiarini's show was performing in Bombay, the king of Sangli, today's Kolhapur, came to see it. And he brought his stable master, Vishnupant Chhatre, with him.
Okay.
After seeing the Royal Italian Circus, Chhatre announced that he would perform the same feat in Sangli within 3 months. He promised that if he failed, he'd bring Chiarini 10,000 British Indian rupees and 10 horses.
Whoa, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
Intense.
Chhatre's first performance was on March 20th, 1880, at the Karundawad Palace grounds. Chiarini did not come to see it. So I don't know what happened. Yeah, Giuseppe, what's happening?
How could you?
I was going to say, cosa fai? But no, I don't know what happened with the rupees and the horses. But whatever. Chhatre bought most of his circus equipment from Chiarini, and within a year, he'd formed the first circus company in India called the Great Indian Circus.
Ah!
Mm-hmm. It toured nationally through India and internationally, including to places like Sri Lanka, Singapore, Jakarta, and Japan.
Cool.
Chhatre ended up merging the Great Indian Circus with his cousin's circus. Apparently a lot of people had circuses.
It's a big circus family.
Yeah. To form the Karlikar Grand Circus, which lasted until 1935.
Wow.
Yeah, so like 55 years.
That's awesome.
Not too shabby.
Oh.
Chhatre is also responsible for founding the first circus academy in India.
Cool.
So when the Great Indian Circus was touring Kerala...
Uh-huh.
Chhatre learned about the martial art of Kalaripayattu and met a trainer named Kileri Konhikanen. And at the time, Chhatre's circus was mostly based on equestrian feats because he was a horse guy. But he was aware that acrobats were drawing more attention. So Chhatre and Konhikanen signed an agreement in which Konhikanen would coach trainees for the circus and Chhatre would employ them. So a new circus school called the All India Circus Training Hall was started in Kerala.
Very cool.
Yes. And also, we've talked about that martial art as well.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yes. So it's cool that it's like, oh, we know what that is. But in 1901, the government of Kerala started its own circus academy, which was the first government circus academy in the country.
I love Kerala.
I do too. So yeah, Kerala.
Really have their priorities in the right order.
I just like, we only ever talk about good things with Kerala.
I know.
And we're not even seeking it out. It just
keeps
happening. No, it
just always comes up. It's like clearly the best place.
Yeah. Yeah, so Kerala actually went on to become known as the cradle of the Indian circus.
That's just so delightful.
Yeah. So inspired by the Royal Italian Circus and the Great Indian Circus, multiple circus companies sprang up between the late 19th century and Indian independence. And by the turn of the 21st century, India had 23 active circuses.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was a lot of bad stuff going on at the circuses.
That happened here too.
Yeah. So the public's perception of Indian circuses was very low by this point due to the common occurrence of children performers being taken in as apprentices by circus companies and forced into training, the shoddy working environment, and the poor conditions in which the animals were often kept.
Mm.
A bit of a slump. In 2013, the Indian government banned the use of wild animals in the circus, as well as child labor in performances.
That's good.
Yep, so get some protections in there. But these were two staples of Indian circus culture, which allowed companies to keep production costs low.
Mm-hmm.
With the new laws, many companies shut their doors. And I found on Circopedia.org.
Cool. Which,
don't know if it's a trusted website or not, but it's where I got this. I found this little bit written in 2015 that said, "The Indian circus is struggling to adapt to a concept of circus vastly different from the model they had developed in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. And by failing to keep a pace with the rest of the world in the 20th century, it was eventually condemned to fall apart in the 21st.
Yeah. Well, that's sad, but it's also like it fell apart for people weren't being taken care of.
Yeah, yes. But all that said, circuses have long been a significant part of India's popular entertainment culture, and there are still at least 10 major circus companies operating in India today under the new laws safeguarding both children and animals.
Great.
So if you're interested, you can go to the circus in India.
I mean, I'd be into that. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
I'd go to the circus anywhere.
Me too.
Again, honestly. As long as everybody's safe.
Yeah, as long as everyone's safe and healthy and, like, wants to be there, great.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's really fun. Thanks for sharing. Always excited when Kerala unexpectedly shows up in our research. And
yeah.
Also, yeah, I also love a story, and I do feel like that origin story for the Great Indian Circus could make a good one.
Yeah.
Make a good cinematic experience.
With a very over-the-top, like, Italian man.
Yeah.
Giuseppe Chiarini.
Excellent. Bollywood news.
Bollywood news. I don't have any, but I didn't say this before, but I'm very interested in watching Aamir Khan, like, more.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. I think he's fantastic.
Yeah. Which I wasn't in doubt of. Like, right. I knew I liked him from Dil Chahta Hai. But it's bonkers to me that it's like, it's only been that. And then Doom 3
yeah.
that I've seen with him. So,
yeah. We'll definitely have to watch more. There are a couple of, like, classic Aamir Khan films that I've had on my list. I mean, he's handsome now, but he was, like, really handsome when he was young.
He reminds
me of Tom Hanks. I think I've said this before. Yeah. He's like Tom Hanks level handsomeness for me.
Yeah, well, I think it's like the sticky outy ears that like add character.
Yes.
Like he's got a lot of character to his face.
He does, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I realized I forgot to mention this at the top of the movie, but Doom 3 was directed by Vijay Krishna Acharya. So we have a different director for this film than the first two Dooms.
Yeah.
But anyway, Bollywood news.
Bollywood news. Yeah, that was my, that's not really, it was a Bollywood statement.
A Bollywood statement. I don't have
news.
I have two things.
Go for it.
So I watched a trailer for a movie that's coming out called Super Boys of Malagaon. I'm not totally sure how to pronounce the place name.
That sounds great. I like Super Boys.
Well, so it's a movie about people from a small city who like make a movie, from what I kind of understand. It seems like it's based on a true story, but this movie was produced by our friends at Excel Entertainment, aka Farhan Akhtar.
Oh,
it was directed by Rima Kagti, who we love.
Yeah.
And starring Adarsh Gaurav.
Oh my god, of White Tiger.
Yes, and it appears to me like his character is very likable and doesn't commit any murders in this
one. Always good. I love him. Oh, I'm very excited about that. And I love that he's clearly like getting more opportunities too.
Yep. So I'm really excited about that movie coming out, and I hope we get to watch it when it does. I forget now exactly when it's coming, but it was like a full trailer, so I think not too long from now.
Amazing.
My other piece of news, and this is really funny because our episode where we talked about Deepika and Ranveer's pregnancy photo shoot came out on the day we're recording.
Yeah.
They had the baby.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
How did I miss? Well, I wasn't on Instagram. Yeah. I haven't even posted that the episode is out today. So here we are.
Wow. But yes, baby Deepveer has been born. It is a little girl. Which was what I was really excited. I wanted it to be a girl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so congratulations to them.
Oh my god. Ranveer's a girl dad.
I know. I think the whole girl dad, boy mom, all that stuff is stupid, but I do think Ranveer is going to be such a good father to a daughter.
Like, yeah. Even if that daughter ends up identifying as something else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to be a great father to a child, and Deepika's going to be a fabulous mother, and I'm just so excited for all of them. So that's the news. That's the news for this this week.
I love it. Pluggables. Mm-hmm. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I occasionally say this, but I'm going to say it again because it's been a while. I am bad at responding to comments and messages, and I'm so sorry for that. It doesn't mean we don't appreciate you.
Definitely
it just
not.
Means I'm bad at it. I don't have my own personal social media, if that can fully explain why I'm so bad at managing our own podcast social media. So I will get back to you. It just might be weeks. Sorry.
But we still love you, and we love to
absolutely.
Hear from you.
Just consider it one of my quirks.
Yeah.
love me. I'm quirky.
Yeah.
But yeah, do what you do on those platforms. Also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or review on that platform. We appreciate you, like, a whole lot.
We do.
So thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you. And listen as well to our Bollywood Bangers playlists, which are on Spotify and YouTube. We put the songs that we love from the movies we watch on those playlists each week and post them on Instagram on Tuesdays, as well as in our episode descriptions. So, next week?
Yeah, we're going sci-fi.
We are going sci-fi. We are, and we're coming back to, like, recent films, and we are watching Kalki 2898 AD.
Yeah, which I'm reading the synopsis for the first time and I'm like, huh, cool. Yeah. Would you like to talk about this? I also didn't realize that Deepika was in it, which makes me very excited.
Yes, she is. Yeah, it's like a pan-Indian cast. There's a lot going on here. On IMDb, our plot description is, the future of those in the dystopian city of Kasi is altered when the destined arrival of Lord Vishnu's final avatar launches a war against darkness. And so this, from what I understand, there's a lot of, like, mythology in here.
That's cool.
Which seems like it's going to be a good movie. Good time.
I'm excited about this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost 3 hours, which... bring it on. Love that. I like an epic film, especially starring Deepika. Mm-hmm. It is available to watch on Amazon Prime. And the Amazon Prime synopsis is, centuries into the future, at the end of Kali Yuga, a prophecy reveals that the next avatar shall be reborn, for whom an immortal warrior from the previous Yuga must battle against the present government. And then he meets his biggest, most unlikely opponent.
Mm.
So, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of questions that'll be answered in 3 hours.
I hope so. The movie is also on Netflix, but I think they're all dubs. I don't think that...
Okay.
I think the movie is originally filmed in multiple languages.
Okay.
But so, yeah, I do think the place to watch it is Amazon Prime, because I don't think that they dub everything into one language.
Okay. That's a good note. Thank you. We really try to watch, like, whatever it in whatever language was the original language. But if it's multiple languages, it's like, just give them all to us.
Right. Yeah. So I've been wanting to watch this movie for a really long time. It's been being teased for a long time. So I'm glad that the opportunity is finally presenting itself.
And I feel like it didn't come out that long ago.
No, I mean, it only came out on streaming a couple weeks ago, so.
Cool.
Yeah.
I liked it. I like that. I feel like we've done a fairly good job.
I think, yeah, we've done a good job of keeping up with things.
Trying to. We're trying to stay hip.
Yeah.
Like the cool kids.
With the young, hip, fly guys.
And the fly guys. The cool guys. The funny guys.
Yeah. Funny guy.
Yeah. You know. But yeah, Doom was a delight.
Yeah.
We're closing that chapter until the day that they release Doom 4.
Yeah, and we'll happily open that chapter again.
Mm-hmm. And so until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
No.
But we need Bollywood.
We do. And I do think we need more Doom. Like,
I'm here
for
it.
I'm here for it. Yep, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.